Being pelted by
the acorn. We're covered. The acorns are still after us, man.
Yeah. it's this time of the year. Haunted tree. It's like jizzing all over us. All right. Welcome to December, everybody. It is the 3rd of December, the 12th month of the year. The
year is almost over.
We're going to go ahead and lean into the holidays by discussing torture again.
What a better topic for your Christmas pleasure.
This will be episode 112, and whenever we did our look back episode, we realized that we really left a lot of stones unturned with the torture episode about halfway back in our tenure there. So we're gonna just kind of kick off where that one ended and talk about torture some more.
Yeah.
So
just the I'm just fascinated by the sick minds that would come up with different methods of torture. There's some sick people out there, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come up with the cruelest way to just cause pain to someone and just an agonizing death. Because most of them back in the day, they ended with death. They didn't want you to live through the torture. You're eventually going to die.
Well, you were being executed.
Yeah.
But your death was just kind of a side project. Like, it was a side effect of the torture. Yeah. The torture was the show. So, Mr. Gomez, help us out here.
First, the old business.
On this date in 1800, the presidential election, there's a tie between Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr. They both get an equal amount of electoral votes, and it's a dead-ass tie. Alexander Hamilton, who didn't like Aaron Burr, went around and got a whole bunch of his Federalist friends to change their votes to tip scales in favor of Jefferson. So Jefferson won. And 4 years later, Aaron Burr shot Alexander Hamilton in the nuts in a duel. Crazy how that stuff works.
Yeah. Are you familiar with that musical called Hamilton?
I've heard of it.
My daughter's fascinated with the soundtrack, and she knows more about that whole situation than I do. Because it's actually a song called Aaron Burr, where it's just Aaron Burr talking about what's going down.
That just came off as a whole bunch of really stuck-up, artsy-fartsy bullshit to me.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like it was anything that I would be...
Well, what's annoying is she downloaded the soundtrack. So every once in a while, when I plug my iPhone into the car to listen to music, it just immediately kicks into the iTunes playlist that we all share. And the first song is Aaron Burr from the Hamilton soundtrack. So I have to listen to that shit all the time.
Can't hit fast forward?
I'll usually stop it. Put on a podcast is what I usually do.
Let's see how this date in 1910. Neon lighting is demonstrated for the first time at the Paris Motor Show. Bar owners across the nation rejoiced. Country singers.
Yes.
Stuff to sing about.
Neon. Neon moon.
Okay, 1927. A film called Putting Pants on Philip.
Wasn't that Wallace and Gromit or something?
It was the first Laurel and Hardy movie
that
came out, 1927. 1976, somebody tried to kill Bob Marley.
Yes, I remember when that happened. Well, I remember reading about that. I wasn't alive when it happened. Yeah. But
you were alive when it happened. It was 76.
Well,
you were
like three.
Four. You were 3.
But yeah, I remember reading about that. And seeing it in documentary also.
Oh, why the hell you'd want to kill that guy?
Well, he was... anti-establishment, and it was the establishment that wanted to stop them from having a voice. Deep state shit.
Now they support the anti-establishment more than just about anything else to destabilize the establishment and usher in the New World Order conspiracy stuff. Okay, on this date in 1992, the first text message is sent via personal computer via the Vodafone network. So all that fun shit we do in between segments to catch up with our friends and friends. That was the first time. It was 1992. I was a junior in high school.
Okay. I was just graduated.
That's crazy. I probably wouldn't send it. I wouldn't send a text message for probably 10 years. Whenever you had to push the buttons 3 times.
Yeah, I remember that very well. Got good at it.
Okay. Notable births. Author Joseph Conrad wrote The Heart of Darkness, better known as Apocalypse Now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story retold.
Okay.
Happy birthday, 1948, to Ozzy Osbourne, King of Darkness.
Ozman himself.
4 years later, his nemesis, well, not really a nemesis, but his kind of, it's Benny Hinn. Let the bodies hit the floor. Have you seen that video?
Yes, yes,
Benny
I have.
Hinn's like knocking people down with the bodies hit the floor. 1960, Daryl Hannah.
I saw that there, I was reading an article about reboots the other day, yesterday. They're going to reboot Splash, gender swapped. So it'll be a male mermaid being found by, it just, I hate that.
Yeah, it's going to be so sexy.
They did it with Overboard, and now they're doing it with Splash. Since Overboard was such a great success, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
It's going to be sexy seeing like...
Channing Tatum is going to be playing the merman.
Daryl Hannah carrying Tom Hanks. Also in 1960, actress Julianne Moore.
Okay. Roller Girl. She was Roller Girl, right?
No. She was in Big Lebowski.
Okay.
The redhead.
Okay. Okay.
Can't think of the name of Roller Girl right now. 1968, Brendan Fraser. The Mummy. And in 2015, notable deaths, we lost Scott Weiland.
Okay.
And that is it for old business. We'll be right back with the new.
Now, a motion picture so grand, so magnificent, and so vast, it spans 7,000 years.
No way!
Yes way!
But it starts with Bill.
I'm Bill S. Preston!
Who is Joan of Arc?
And Ted.
Noah's wife?
We're in danger of flunking most heinously tomorrow.
A force from the future.
Can we go anywhere we want at any time?
You can do anything you want.
Is putting history at their fingertips.
Let's reach out and touch someone.
They're traveling through time.
How's it going, royal ugly dudes?
Put them in the Iron Maiden.
Excellent!
Execute them.
Bogus. How's it going, dude?
Spectre, stay clear.
And they're making a big impression.
Historical babes.
Now they're home.
Buddy, get together. Remember who your buddy is.
To trash the 20th century.
You got a live one here.
Keanu Reeves, Alex Winter, Napoleon.
We're from history.
Billy the Kid.
Oh my God.
Joan of Arc. Sigmund Freud.
Tell me about your mother.
You a musician?
Beethoven.
Genghis Khan!
Abraham Lincoln.
Party on, dudes!
Socrates. George Carlin.
We're history.
If you guys are really us, what number are we thinking of?
69, dudes!
Bill and Ted's...
Excellent! Excellent!
Excellent adventure.
Party on. Dude.
Here we are.
Let's do it.
Okay, without further ado.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
Okay, a scientific study has come out, being that it's December. We can, you know, it's a good time to talk about this. That Christmas songs actually are bad for you. According to a psychologist, I know this name is going to make you giggle. Psychologist Linda Blair. Listening to Santa Claus is coming to town on repeat can actually have a negative effect on you. Essentially, People working in shops at Christmas have to tune out the Christmas music, because if they don't, it really does stop you from being able to focus on anything else, and you'll end up losing your mind, becoming fatigued, just losing energy just from over and over listening to Christmas music. So you can actually tell people, I don't want to listen to Christmas music right now because it's bad for your health.
The fact is, well, that's any kind of music. Yep. But she's absolutely, positively, 100% correct. Here's the bitch of it all. I used to work in retail. I used to work at Radio Shack. I worked at other places besides Radio Shack, but Radio Shack was the worst. Because Radio Shack would send us, back in the day, they'd send us cassette tapes and video cassettes. Most Radio Shack stores you'd ever go into, they would have some local TV station or cable station on the TV or be playing some movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's highly illegal because of ASCAP, right?
Yep.
You can't be doing that. You can only publish, and like baseball and stuff, you can't do that. You have to have paid rights.
Right, yeah.
You also can't play music. It can only be the approved stuff. So they used to send us a monthly like sales flyer with a videotape and cassette tapes that had little jingles and Radio Shack commercials and music videos. The bitch of it all was that the music videos were about 45-second snippets of a song, because they didn't want to pay for the whole damn song.
Right.
So they'd send you a 30-minute tape
with the same shit
that would auto-repeat. It would, like, hit the end, rewind, and start over. And it would auto-repeat all day. And you'd sometimes be working 12, 13-hour shifts. And you would never actually hear the whole song all the way through. And it was maddening.
It's like a bunch of annoying ringtones.
And it wasn't just Christmas music either. This was, like, year-round. So most of the time, you'd have something on in the background. You know, managers wouldn't care, but... You know, you get a sticky manager, or, you know, somebody would get raided someplace, and, you know, they'd send out a memo being like, the only thing that's authorized are these tapes.
Right.
And, oh my God, working at Christmas time, it's like, there's still songs. there are still songs that I'll hear on the radio even now. It's 25 years later. I'll hear a song on the radio that certain parts, to me, sound like a remix. It's like a bridge or a second chorus that maybe, because I'm so used to just hearing the first
45
verse
seconds,
and,
right?
And the first verse and the first chorus, that it sounds weird to me to hear the rest of the song, because it just got hammered into my head that hard. And but yeah, it'll mess with your skull, like, for life to hear that shit. And the worst of them all is the Last Christmas by Wham, and now Taylor Swift. So there's two versions of it on the radio. Last year there was a it wasn't a drinking game, but it was just kind of one of those, like, it's like, see how long you can last without hearing, you know, the Last Christmas. I read that on Facebook, got in my car, turned on the engine, it was on, I was out of the game within like 12 seconds of reading the post. That and Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas. That is the worst song ever. Like, it's so
bad. No, I'm sick of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. That's the one that annoys me the most.
Oh yeah, that's been annoying for 40 years, that's why.
Okay, when you were 11, were you a mischievous little kid?
Mm-hmm.
Were you at the point of having under your belt two high-speed police pursuits within 13 months by the time you were 11?
Nobody's that cool.
Well, I'd like to introduce you to an 11-year-old Cleveland boy. he led police on his second high-speed chase within 13 months, this time because his mother took away his PlayStation. After he crashed the car, he was arrested, and he's in the juvenile detention center now. He stole his mother's 2013 Dodge Durango, which I found interesting, because do you remember young Letarian Martin, who went on a joyride with his grandma? It was also a Dodge Durango that he crashed. So apparently the Dodge Durango is the vehicle of choice for 10 and 11-year-old
miscreants.
Yes. He stole her Dodge Durango about 10:45 p.m. on a Sunday evening after they got into an argument about his mother taking away his PlayStation. Mother went to bed, later told police she noticed her keys were missing, and later got a call from the boy's father saying he saw the boy driving the SUV at Memphis Avenue and chased the boy but couldn't find him. The boy hauled ass. He was reaching speeds up to 70 and 90 miles per hour during this chase. 11 years old, to the point where he turned off the lights to try to hide from the police, finally crashing the vehicle. The ass whipping I would have gotten.
Oh, dude. That would expose some pelvis.
He crashed the SUV. It flipped over. He walked out of the SUV and collapsed. He was treated for scrapes and cuts, but he was quickly released from the hospital and went straight to juvie. Little shit.
Hey, what are you in for? I stole some candy. What are you in for? I flipped a Durango, bitch.
Running from the cops at 90 miles per hour. Okay, you know how we feel about our service animals on flights here at the Scary Dad Podcast. Well, recently, a Bay City resident, Matthew Meehan, he sat down on his flight from Atlanta to Miami when he realized that there was shit all over his seat and on the surrounding floor. He was actually sitting in shit. Apparently, someone had their sick service animal on there, and the service animal shit all over the seats and all over the floor. He asked flight attendants for help, but they gave him two paper towels. And this is the weird thing. They gave him two paper towels and a bottle of Sapphire Gin, Bombay Sapphire Gin. Like, you want to just get drunk and sit in it? So he cleaned himself in his seat as best he could. He spoke to the manager. The manager didn't really give a shit. He said he stepped back for a moment, told himself, keep your composure. You don't want to be one of these people that gets kicked off a plane. But he's standing there and he's covered in shit. So him and the other passengers in that row, they took a blanket, covered up the seats, and made the best of their trip, in which upon his arrival, he ended up getting a full refund plus, you know, some other credits and everything. But yeah, who brings a service animal and just lets it shit all over the place? It's getting out of hand, dude.
Dude, people and animals have gotten way out of hand. Way out of hand. I mean, dude, like, it's cool. You got a dog, you like your dog, you got your cat, you know, whatever, but it's a dog. At the end of the day, your dog's going to eat shit. That's what they do, yeah. Right? They're going to puke, and they're going to eat that puke, because philosophically, that makes sense to them.
Yeah.
That's their thing. I mean, but there are reasons. But I told you I used to work at Radio Shack, right? This was in the late 80s, early 90s, in the Galleria, before they remodeled it. On the bottom floor, there used to be a pet store. And it was like a menagerie. It was a really cool pet store. You know, it was like, it had ferrets and talking parrots and birds and rats.
They used to have cool pet stores like that.
You know, iguanas and all kinds of cool stuff. It got shut down, and you know why it got shut down? It's because some people were playing with a dog, and that dog bolted. And it ran across the mall into the Chick-fil-A while the health inspector was there. And the health inspector shut down the Chick-fil-A. And Chick-fil-A went to the mall and said, either they go or we go.
There goes the pet store.
There goes the pet store. Now you can walk all over the place with goddamn service animal, peacock, shitting on everything.
And you can't say anything.
And you can't say nothing. But that's how serious they were about the health codes back then.
Yeah.
So...
Okay, as we talked about recently, Derek Mears was cast as the title character in the Swamp Thing series that is currently in development, and has been announced that Andy Bean, who also stars in It Chapter 2, will be playing the human version of Alec Holland, the Alec Holland human version of Swamp Thing. So,
which, by the way, let me ask you, did you happen to get the 100-page Halloween giant?
It's cool.
The Swamp Thing?
Yep. I like it.
It's got that House of Mystery.
Yeah, it has a reprint of the House of Mystery.
Yeah, the House of Secrets.
House of Secrets 92, yep.
Yeah. I'd never read that story.
I got a copy of one of the reprints itself, and then I bought that. You want a copy of that? There's a ton of them at the Walmart by my house. I'll grab one.
I've got the...
You picked it up?
Yeah, yeah. The Swamp Thing? Yeah, yeah.
It's cool stories in there, man. There's some really cool shit in there.
I like how they're doing that. And it's kind of like off the collector's path, because it's at Walmart and just kind of... randomly in their baseball card section, so it's not like scalped up.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
you can go in there and find a copy, and it's available.
People are flipping them for $10 a piece already. There was like 20 of them at the Walmart by my house.
Yeah.
Okay. Wyoming man, Mr. Levi Lucero, age 29, is facing a domestic battery charge after allegedly striking his girlfriend with scalding hot Hot Pockets. That left the victim with burns on her neck and ear. Now, I got some problems with this story. Okay. So, cops responded to... read the police report. Cops responded to a call about an assault in Casper. Sunday morning, spoke with a woman who said her friend had been injured by a Hot Pocket thrown by her beau. Witness told police that skin on the 28-year-old's victim's face was blistering and falling off. Now, we all know Hot Pockets can get hot. It's like napalm. There's not much you can do about it. But, according to the report, the victim had been eating the Hot Pocket before he threw it. If it was that hot, he couldn't have been eating it.
Untrue. You eat those things, they taste like napalm because it takes them too damn long to cool off. They never cool off, ever.
During question, he acknowledged arguing with the victim but denied that their dispute turned violent. When asked about the woman's injuries, he replied, "I didn't mean to burn her." A woman told cops she had given Lucero a Hot Pocket that was heated up in a microwave. As he consumed the item, the couple quarreled. The victim alleged that he struck her with the Hot Pocket after first throwing a phone at her. In the police report, they wrote, appeared to have suffered burns on her neck and ear, and added Hot Pocket shrapnel all over her neck and shirt. Hot Pocket shrapnel.
Wow.
See, in Wyoming, it's illegal to throw hot pockets at someone and causing their skin to fall off and peel off like a horror movie. Okay. That's a crazy guy. Let's talk about a crazy woman. Woman in, what country was it? Siberia. Identified as Olga, reportedly grabbed a knife and plunged it into her former partner, Oleg, after they got drunk one night. Rather than call for help, she snapped a selfie of her posing alongside his bloodied body, sent the photo to all her pals with the hashtag beast on it. She wrote in the message, "Guys, I stabbed my ex-husband with a knife. I was taken to accident emergency for 3 hours, and only now have I cleaned up everything. It looks like I am a beast." She said to have stabbed him after attempting to strangle her during the argument. She was arrested for exceeding justifiable self-defense, but she has been released. But there is the actual...
Did she kill him?
No, he survived. But this is the actual selfie she took of his blood all over the floor, him leaning against the wall, and her standing there mugging for the camera.
Damn.
That is a sick bitch, dude.
I'm sending this to your mom.
Okay, we're about to start up the trial of a former SS guard who is 94 years old in Munster. He was from the Western District of Borken and was a watchman from 1942 to 1944 at the Studef camp, which was then Free City of Danzig, now Danzig in Poland. He hasn't been named or anything, but trial marks a new attempt in Germany's race against time to prosecute surviving Nazis after a new legal precedent was set in 2011. He's accused of being an accessory to the murders of several hundred camp prisoners, regional court of Munster said, more than seven decades after the end of World War II. So yeah, they're still finding him, they're still convicting him, man. There's no running for the sick shit that they did back in the day. He was actually caught in 2017, and his court case is just now being seen. All right. Oh, and I didn't pull this article. Did you see the article that somebody just wrote a book? He was basically doing a story about the history of concentration camps and everything, and he realized he kept running across these photographs of the SS guards and the Nazi army, where they would have like these drag queen shows, and he's accumulated so much of these pictures of them dressing up in drag and doing performances for each other that his book is now about the secret drag queen life of Nazis during World War. How crazy is that, dude?
That's bizarre.
And some of these pictures are really, really freaky looking. They were getting into it big time. But yeah, that I forgot to pull that story up, but check that one out. It's on Drudge Report. You can find it on there.
So I recently went back and listened to some old hardcore history. And hardcore history, for those of you who don't know, is like, they're like 4 and 5 hour long episodes. And he'll do entire series, like multi-part series of 4 and 5 hour long episodes. And so he's got Hardcore History Addendum, which is a shorter episode, maybe 45 minutes to an hour long, touching on some other aspect of history that just doesn't warrant a full show. So one of the things that he did was, in a previous episode, he mentioned that the Imperial German Army of World War I was superior to the Wehrmacht in World War II, which, all things considered, the Wehrmacht is considered one of the premier armies that's ever walked the earth. I mean, they took over wide swaths of land. They were damn near invincible. The German army, we're not talking about the SS, we're talking about the rank and file soldier army of Nazi Germany.
Yep.
Well, Carlin goes on to say, he's like, he's got a lot of reasons for why the Imperial German army was superior. Like, one of them is they held a sustained two-front war from 1912 to 1917, almost 5 years. Mm-hmm. The Nazis had a single-front war for a couple of years and then crumbled as soon as it became a two-front war. Like, just different stuff, but ultimately, you know, the World War II Army had the discipline, and it had the equipment, and it had the tactics, and it had all of the stuff, he said, but he believed that the main reason that it was inferior was straight up because of the Nazi influence. The Nazi influence in it, because says the Imperial Army was a much more mature, much more nationalistic, kind of straightforward, disciplined and tactical army, whereas the Nazis were
unhinged.
Well, they were unhinged, yes, but they also, he's like, if you look at, you know, what, like, what's your purpose here? What are you trying to do? Oh, I'm trying to win a war. Okay, well then why are you diverting all of these resources to exterminating people? He says you can look at World War I graveyards and see a lot of German Jews who fought on the side of Imperial Germany. Well, Germany was then wiping out their own countrymen and, you know, being very particular about who survived, you know, and using energy and manpower for that. But then he went on to talk about, like, weird stuff, like Goebbels and Goering, Hermann Goering. He was in charge of the Luftwaffe, and he just failed, like, left and right. And it's like, one of the things he mentioned was that it's, he's kind of a drag queen. Like, he liked to dress up in women's underwear for some reason. And, like, he'd show up to places like that, and they'd all look at him weird. Like, all of your higher-ranking non-Nazi, but just, you know, like, your German military guys are like, right, what the hell is up with this guy? He's just completely inept. But the way the Nazis worked was, it was so dramatic and so secretive that you wouldn't say anything against them because you'd end up dead.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But it's like that influence itself. So, like, just interesting because you mentioned it. I just listened to that like 2 days ago. I was talking about how Hermann Goering would wear women's underwear.
You hear some of the pictures that the guy found, actually, of some of the drag shows that they would have. Yeah, it's really weird. It's a fascinating article. You ought to check it out. Definitely. Okay, final story. This ties in with our current topic, of course. As you may or may not know, there are still some states that have the electric chair as an option for executions. And Tennessee recently executed somebody by electric chair. Fred Lucher. I'm not sure if you ever heard of him, but he had a very successful career in the execution business. He's the one that actually designed Tennessee's chair, which is currently in use. And when he heard of this execution coming up, it hadn't been used since 2007. And he heard of this execution coming up, he said, hey, guys, it's not going to work. You guys have done some stuff to it where it's not going to work anymore. Where, well, it's come to light, this Lucher guy, he's worked on hundreds of execution methods and systems for different places. Everything from electric chairs to gas chambers, lethal injection machines, and gallows in at least 27 states. It came out a while back that he was a Holocaust denier. So it kind of started tarnishing his reputation. People started looking into him. Come to find out, this dude doesn't have an engineering degree. He has no license in engineering. He's basically a dude that watched Faces of Death and said, I could build one of those. and started working, and he was brought into the prison system to work on all these devices and shit. And the guy's like a psychopath, dude. Yeah, he don't know shit. He was basically took a chair and a lamp cord and hooked it up and made this electric chair.
Why did he call him to tell him it wasn't going to work?
He said that they had moved it. His concern is that Tennessee's chair would fail because of changes others made to it after he was no longer allowed to service it. He refurbished that particular electric chair in 1988, relying on skills picked up designing navigational and surveillance equipment.
So he's been outed for a long time.
Yeah, he's been doing it for a long, long time.
And now he's calling him up and being like, y'all fucked it up.
Yeah, yeah. And he's apparently, it says in an article that he's been banned from the property of, like, all these prisons and everything, which made me wonder, if he was to commit a crime in Tennessee, does that mean that he can't go to jail because he's been banned from the properties? He was familiar with prisons because he accompanied his father to his job as superintendent of the transportation in the Massachusetts State Prison in the 1940s and 50s. And that's when he built relationships with some of the prison guards there. And as a teenager, he helped his father move the state's old electric chair when the prison relocated. And he remembers they had to do it on a Sunday because the warden didn't want the news media to know they were moving it. And it's pretty much where he got his plans for an electric chair. And shortly after, he struck up a conversation with the warden. The chair started malfunctioning, so the warden called him, hey, you want to come work on this chair over here and help us out? And that's how he got into the business of executions.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought it was just a weird, weird story. He's actually had a chair. He's a collector of murderabilia. It's crazy.
What does your dad do?
He designs methods of execution for people. Well, at one time, that might have been a noble position to have as we get into the rest of our show. But we'll delve into that a little bit more. But that's what I got.
All right. Well, let's take a break, and we will be right back.
Mattel Electronics is offering a big Christmas bonus on its electronic games. You can get cash rebates by mail from $2 up to $12 using these coupons. When you buy qualifying electronic games and a Pepsi-Cola product, get details and coupons at the toy, electronic, and food stores featuring these Mattel Electronics and Pepsi-Cola displays. And score a cash Christmas bonus from Mattel Electronics.
Steven Spielberg presents Gremlins. Billy Pelser has a nice home.
Billy, is that you?
Yeah, Mom, it's me.
A nice job. A nice girl.
If you're not doing anything this Thursday night, maybe you'd like to go out on a date with me?
I'd love to.
And loving parents who were about to give him...
You're going
to
like this. No, don't shake it. We're going to have to open it now. It won't wait till Christmas.
The most unusual gift he ever got.
What is it?
No.
It's your new pet.
Come on, Barney, be a good dog. My dad gave it to me.
But there are a few things to keep in mind. If you expose it to the light, you may hurt it. If you get it wet, it will multiply.
All that from water? They got wet?
Yeah, plain water.
And most important, no matter how much they beg, never, never let them eat after midnight. Because when they do, they change.
Rafe.
They become clever. Mischievous.
What's going on here?
And dangerous.
Gremlins, huh? Little monsters.
Right.
Hundreds of them.
Well, I don't know, maybe thousands.
They've been here too. Billy, what are these things? Where do they come from?
Look, I know it sounds crazy, I know. But in a few hours, you're gonna have a major disaster on your hands.
Directed by Joe Dante. They'll be expecting you on Beneath.
All right. So where do we want to go with torture this time?
Well, I got one I'm not sure we talked about the last time.
All right.
Did we talk about the tub?
I don't believe so. And even if we did, that was almost 2 years ago. So let's let's just start fresh.
This was an old method of torturing, known as the punishment of sitting in the tub. They put the convicted in a wooden tub with only their head sticking out. So basically, it was like a barrel full of water with their head sticking out of it. After that, the executioner would paint their faces with milk and honey, and soon flies would start to feed on their face. They would make sure to keep feeding the victim, so the victim would end up shitting in the water, so it would pretty much be swimming in his excrement. After a few days, maggots and worms would devour their body as they decayed alive from the eggs being laid in their face and everything. Disgusting.
Not fun.
And like I said, it was a torturous execution, basically, is what it was. You know, they weren't trying to get information from somebody. They just wanted somebody to really suffer.
Well, you've heard about the bamboo, right?
What about the bamboo?
In World War II, and the Japanese would take GIs, and they'd hang them up over... They'd cut bamboo down, and then they'd cut it at an angle, making it sharp. Bamboo grows, like, 6 to 8 inches a day.
Yeah.
So they'd hang GIs up over fresh-cut bamboo, and the spikes would grow slowly...
Impaling them. Yeah, there's a lot of different methods similar to that that just...
They did all kinds of crazy stuff with bamboo. It's not fun. All right, let's see here. Where is my...
Hey, I got one. It's one of my favorite ones, just for the originality. Someone coming up with it, but we've talked about it before. But the brazen bull, also known as the Sicilian bull, designed in ancient Greece, the solid piece of brass in the shape of a bull was cast with a door on the side that could be opened and latched. The victim would be placed inside the bull and a fire set underneath it until the metal became literally yellow as it was heated. The victim would then be slowly roasted to death, all while screaming in agonizing pain. The bull was purposely designed to amplify those screams and make them sound like the bellowing of a bull. And there's actually a pretty cool illustration of what it looked like to be inside of the bull. That is just horrible. You're being cooked alive, dude.
Can you imagine like what it would look like pulling that guy out of there?
Oh, God. Because it's not like the fire is causing ashes. It's just roasting him to a crisp. You know, there's still a body there and everything. But the thing about it is, do you know how good of a deterrent that would be for criminals?
Especially hearing it bellow out across
the street. Having to be stuck in town square, hearing this guy scream in agony as he dies. Yeah, you wouldn't want to get put in that shit.
Okay, let's see. Some torture methods that we didn't go over last time. This is what I was looking for because it's in small print.
Okay.
Let's see. The Chevalier, in which the accused witch sat on a pointed metal horse with weights strung from her feet. So basically a giant axe, like being wedged up between your legs. Sexual humiliation included forced sitting on red-hot stools. There was one called a Gracilin. It's also called a Pennywinkie in Scotland, or a Pillywinks. It crushed the tips of the fingers and toes in a vice-like device.
Wow.
Just for the purpose of magic. And you think about how little and strong the bones of the fingers and toes actually are. You know, like, it takes a special kind of, you know, sadistic thought to be like, okay, we're just going to crush your fingernails in that very tip finger of your... God.
Well, you would feel that constantly because you use your fingertips to pick so much stuff up. I mean, have you ever had a cut on your fingertip? You hurt it constantly because you're constantly using your hands for stuff.
Mm-hmm. The Spanish boot was actually most used in Germany. Was a steel boot that placed over the leg of the accused and tightened. The pressure from the squeezing of the boot would break the shin bone into pieces. Can you bark your shin? It hurts like hell. Can you imagine having it shattered?
Repeatedly.
Variants of the boot were also designed to crush feet between iron plates and spikes. Let's see. A tortillon was used in conjunction with the latter. It would severely squeeze and mutilate the genitals at the same time as one was being stretched on the rack.
Jesus.
not fun. Okay, similar to the latter was the lift. It stretched the limbs of the accused. In this instance, the victim's feet were strapped to the ground and their arms were tied behind their back before a rope was tied to their hands and lifted upwards.
Wow.
So whenever somebody gets you, like, hold your hand behind the back and then lifts upwards, yeah. Imagine that both hands, but pulled by a rope. Caused the arms to break before the portion of the stretching began. The judicial system of King James favored the use of turcas, an ingenious device for destroying the nails of the fingers of the toes. So just rip off the fingernails. The sharp point of the instrument first pushed under the nail to the root, splitting the Jesus. Nail down the center line. Pincers grabbed the either edge of the destroyed nail and slowly tore it away from the nail bed.
He's doing it slowly. You know, rip it off like a Band-Aid if you're going to do anything.
Yeah,
you
know? No, you got to pull it slow. Let's see. The strappado, a system of weights and pulleys which the prisoner was trussed up and jerked in order to dislocate limbs. And then finally, the torture by fire, in which the bare feet put in iron stocks smeared with lard and slowly barbecued over red hot coals. Imagine smelling yourself cooking.
The pain, dude. I mean, just the shock you would go into from that. Whew, man. Just to revisit a couple more of the ones that we've talked about before, another one of my favorites was the Judas Cradle. Remember that one? Related to impalement, but possibly worse because it takes longer to die. This punishment entailed having the victim sit on a pyramid-shaped cradle, after which they would be forced down on it by ropes with the intent of stretching the victim's orifice, anus, over a long period of time, slowly impaling them. To add to the overall humiliation, they would strip them naked, and the device wouldn't be watched. So if the torture didn't kill you, the infection contracted probably would. And here's a picture of someone on the Judas cradle, and that would just be damn. That would suck so much, dude. Because you're talking about days and days of just being forced down onto this cone until you die. Just kill a motherfucker, dude. You know? Just the sadistic minds, man. The lead sprinkler was another interesting one. You know how in church they have the sprinkler they would use for holy water to spray out onto the, during a funeral they sprayed on the casket, so on and so forth. This was essentially the same device, except it was filled with molten lead, tar, boiling water, or boiling oil. Used to torture victims by dripping the contents onto their stomach or other body parts like the eyes. Using this device, the torturer would proceed to pour molten silver on the victim's eyes, which resulted in agonizing pain and eventual death. Remember we talked, didn't you talk about one of those shows where they killed somebody with molten metal pouring it on their head? It's just
kind of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
The death by a thousand cuts, which we've talked about before, that was famous in China. It's a form of execution used in China from roughly 900 AD until 1905. Okay, the Ling Chi began when the torturer would wield an extremely sharp knife, begin putting out the eyes, rendering the condemned incapable of seeing the remainder of the torture. Excuse me, I had to scratch my eye so I could read about the remainder of the torture. And presumably adding considerably to the psychological terror of the procedures. Successive, rather minor cuts chopped off ears, nose, tongue, fingers, toes, and such more before proceeding to grosser cuts that remove large parts of flesh from more sizable parts, i.e. thighs and shoulders. The entire process was supposed to last 3 days and a total of 3,600 cuts. The heavily carved bodies of the deceased were put on a parade for a show in the public. It was typical to bribe the executioner to administer hasty death to the victim after a small number of dramatic slices inflicted for showmanship. So, oops, I slipped and he bled out, you know, like... you know, then we have impalement. We talked about Vlad last week. Impalement, method of torture whereby a person is pierced with a long stake. Penetration can be through the sides, from the rectum, or through the mouth or vagina. Can you imagine getting impaled upside down?
Jesus.
Like, they stick it down your throat and then hoist you up. Post the post.
Man.
This method would lead to slow, painful death, often the victim hoisted into the air after partial impalement. Gravity and the victim's struggles would cause him to slide down the pole. Death could take days. Impalement was frequently practiced in Asia and Europe through the Middle Ages. Vlad Dracul and Ivan the Terrible have passed into legend as major users of this method.
Familiar with rat torture?
Somewhat.
Happened in medieval times, one of the more popular forms of torture. It would involve having a cage with one side open, strapped against the victim's body, normally their stomach. It would then be filled with large rats and a heating element of some sort placed on the top of the cage. A natural instinct of the rodents would be to flee the intense heat. In order to escape, they would burrow through the victim's body with eventual fatal results. So they basically eat their way into someone's stomach, try to get away from the heat, and just rip them up and have them bleed out. That's fucked up. Yeah.
The breaking wheel was a torturous capital punishment device in the Middle Ages for execution by cudgeling to death. The condemned were placed on a cartwheel with their limbs stretched out along the spokes over two sturdy wooden beams. The wheel was made to slowly revolve through the openings between the spokes. The executioner hit the victim with an iron hammer that would break the bones. The process was repeated several times per limb. Once the bones were broken, he was left on the wheel to die. It could take hours, days before shock and dehydration caused death. The punishment was abolished in Germany in 1827. They were still doing the wheel in...
Jesus.
1827.
This one has an interesting name. Have you ever heard of the Republican marriage?
Doesn't sound good.
It was an act of torture that was employed by Jean-Baptiste Carrier during the French Revolution. It involved binding naked males and females together and throwing them in icy waters to drown. When that wasn't available, they would just run them through with swords and bayonets. And apparently it was the preferred method used to execute nuns and priests during that time. But just the name alone, they get some points for that one.
Yeah.
Republican marriage.
Oh, let's see. In Judaism, Maimonides issued a ruling in the case of a man who was ordered by a Beth Din to divorce his wife, and he refused. So we coerce him until he states, "I want to." They basically just beat this guy until he agrees to divorce his wife.
Of course, the Spanish Inquisition was an inspiration for many torture devices. One of them that came out during that time was the Spanish donkey. Spanish donkey was a very gruesome method of torture. Victims put astride naked on a donkey-like apparatus, which is actually a vertical wooden board with a sharp V-wedge on top of it. After that, the torturer would add varying weights to the victim's feet until finally the wedge sliced through the victim's body.
Mm.
Yeah. This is the kind of shit that Jigsaw comes up with in his movies, man. It's just horrible.
Yeah, looking up some of the more modern techniques in amongst the Japanese with the bamboo, it's torturous. I don't know how it could be classified any other way, but the crimes of Joseph Mengele, the Nazi doctor of Auschwitz,
yeah.
The kind of medical experiments that he did on. I don't know if they were all Jews. I don't think that...
Some of the prisoners of war weren't, so...
Well, a lot of...
The majority were.
A lot of them were. But he would specifically seek out twins.
Yeah.
He would seek out people with different pigments. So if you had two different color eyes, and certain other like midgets, people that had different kinds of defects. Normally, whenever you'd arrive at Auschwitz, they would separate you from those who were capable of working, went to the left, and everybody else went to the gas chamber, including children, pregnant women, old people, anybody with any kind of infirmity. But Mengele actually, their lives were spared for a while because he would experiment on them. And a lot of times they got extra food and they were treated, I'm going to say, relatively well compared to the quick execution of the gas chambers. But he was such a cruel bastard that he would have like a whole bunch of children in a daycare, and he would make friends with them and bring them sweets and talk to them, and then like
use them for sadistic experiments.
Well, he maybe not. He might just decide to he wanted to experiment on a different bunch of children, so he'd just take this whole room and just send them to the gas chamber, and then put out a call, bring me a bunch of blonde kids. So, like, he was that sort of sadistic, is that he would be sweet to them one moment and then literally close the door on them and send them to their death that same moment. But some of the stuff he did was, like, trying to change the color of the eyes. They did torture tests on twins.
Twins to see if it would transfer to the...
Right. They would infect a twin with something like scarlet fever and then poke at the... other one to see if he had any effects as well, and then once one or the other of them died, then they'd kill the other one and then send both corpses back to Munich for study. Mm-hmm. So it's like there was no getting out of it. There was no good side. There wasn't like being a good test subject. Like if you performed the way he wanted you to, he would kill you and bag you. And if you didn't perform the way he wanted you to, he would kill you and burn you. So just the kinds of stuff that passed as normal. He got high praise. He got very, very high esteem. He was very high and held in high esteem. Mm-hmm. Many rewards and medals and lands and titles and all that kind of stuff by the... And just the kind of stuff that he did was just insane, and he survived. He escaped. He made it to Rio.
Okay. South America was a big destination for a lot of them.
Yep. He drowned in 1967. Just accident.
If you read At Pupil, the novella by Stephen King, it really digs deep into just the disgusting, horrific things that went on in the concentration camps. It is just... It's graphic and just horrible, man.
It is really amazing. So, like, I was in Germany in 2009. We went on vacation and we went to the Dachau concentration camp. And there's not much there anymore. Like, but it's also not a very big compound. It's like a football stadium.
Uh-huh.
Like, that size, like a few city blocks, really. You get this kind of feeling that these were these sprawling, like, city encampments. They weren't. They were compact, and they're surrounded by city. They're surrounded by town.
Yeah.
But they had these areas where, it's like they had the main block, and then, the fences and the walls. And then they have these, where the barracks were and stuff, or, call them barracks, where they kept the prisoners, whatever. And you just look around and you're just like astounded that so much horror could happen on this picturesque sort of place. You hear birds chirping. It's kind of peaceful. It was a nice spring morning and you're looking around just being like, this is actually kind of a, but it's very subdued.
Yeah.
It's like all of the tones are hushed in a certain way, but it's just amazing that kind of evil can just occur.
Well, that's why when people nowadays try to compare things that happen now to concentration camps of... Read a book, asshole.
Yeah.
You shouldn't even be using those two things in the same breath.
Not at all. And nope. The thing is, like, the internet has given everybody, I don't want to put anybody's feelings off, because people have strong feelings about one thing or another. We started off the show talking about dogs. If you're a dog person, I love you, dude. Be a dog person. I love you for it. Just be aware that people don't like your dog shitting on the airplane seats, yeah. Right? And there are issues that need to be resolved, but you're right. The internet has given rise to the extreme superlative. There's nothing pretty good and there's nothing kind of bad. It's all either 100% good or pure evil.
Yeah.
And there's no in between. And that's dangerous. Yeah. That's a dangerous place. When you put any kind of, you know, anything compared to the concentration camps that isn't a frickin' death camp, then you're lowering the impact of what the death camp really was.
Just like people that compare certain things now to slavery. No. Joe, you can't do that because you dampen what slavery actually was. You know, you're diluting that. And it needs to be known for the horrible thing it was. You can't compare everything that goes on nowadays to slavery because it was a horrible, horrible thing.
True.
You know, there's too much of that going on.
Well, and the thing is, like, we talk about the torture, and the thing is, like, the whole, like, the doom to repeat it, and you're talking about something like slavery. When you have dulled the point where everything, you know, everything that's bad is compared to slavery, every politician you don't like, every policy you don't like is compared to Hitler and the Nazis, then whenever one of those real bad things slips through, your hyperbole, your crying wolf, is going to be ignored.
Yeah.
That's what the frightening thing is. You mentioned slavery. There are folks out there who are not in any way, shape, form, at all, ever would be any kind of apologist for slavery. But people, slaves included, despite their lot in life, typically try to make the best of their situation. Right? So there were things in, you know, I want to say antediluvian, that's before the flood, antebellum South, that, you know, a culture, you know, it's like the family was stronger then. They stuck together. Mm-hmm. They had a real, you know, spiritual
bond
that was frowned upon by the slave owners, but it was there. And that's something that should be cherished, and it should be, you know, you can't throw out baby with the bathwater. You want to preserve that culture. You want to preserve what was good and realizing that it emerged because of the bad.
Yeah.
But to say, like, oh, well, there's nothing good that came out of that. Well, I disagree, because there was a lot of good. There was a lot of people who realized that it was really bad, and they abolished it.
And they were, yeah, and
so that in itself was good.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, you got to be able to have a discussion without people getting mad.
Right.
You know? Because, Jesus Christ, you do not want another Auschwitz.
No.
You do not want another Gulag. You know, the Russian. Or just they just shoot you because it was efficient. We have more bullets than bread. Bang.
Yeah.
You know, it's like no worries, no secret agenda, not angry, just pure economics.
Yeah.
It's easier for you to be dead. Thanos.
Yeah. <You know?
laughs> That's scary. And that people would go along with that.
Right.
And be like, okay, yeah, sounds like a good idea to me. Fucking hey, dude. How can you imagine being a torturer? Like, you wake up in the morning,
stretch,
your wife's like, what you want? You're like, breakfast tacos. She's like, what's your day like? You're like, I gotta barbecue this bitch's feet.
I got a salt torture, and I got a Spanish donkey that I gotta do today.
I got a 3 o'clock brazen bowl. That must just be a shitty life.
They better give me my overtime this week.
Yeah. Honey, they're working you too hard. I'm thinking of, like, Princess Bride. It's like, sire, please relax. You don't have your health. You don't have anything. You know, like,
the executioner in Blazing Saddles.
I couldn't possibly fit them in today. Maybe next Monday.
You got any more?
Nah, I think I'm pretty much done, other than saw torture, which is another one that...
Where they hang you upside down.
Hang you upside down and slowly saw through your abdomen to your in half. Hang you upside down so that the blood rushes to your head so you stay alive longer.
Mm-hmm.
And then slowly just saw through your body.
I believe they have a scene of that in that movie, Terrifier.
Okay.
With the clown.
Uh-huh.
He hangs somebody upside down and cuts them through with the hacksaw.
Sick minds that came up with a lot of this shit, man.
Yeah, not necessarily something I really care to watch, but if it floats your boat, you can watch that particular torture in that movie. Yeah, man. Reading about like Nazi Germany and just the kinds of evil that people were capable of. Again, one of these things, like somebody posted a picture a couple years ago and it showed a picture of Hitler in a garden playing with like one of his nieces, and you know, she's wearing a little dress and she's got a flower and he's got a smile on his face and he looks just like a normal guy. And somebody posted a picture. It's like, oh, this is horrifying. And like it went back and forth, and somebody was like, the reason it's horrifying is because he was not a monster in the, like, he didn't have an extra head or an extra set of eyes and a tail or any of that.
Right.
He was a guy who loved his niece, who was batshit insane, but had the political clout and the wherewithal to get people to do what he wanted them to do. Yeah. And but at the end of the day, he was just a person.
Yeah.
He was an evil person. He was not a monster, as we define monsters. And of course, they always say, oh, yeah, it was a monster. No, he wasn't. He was just a dude. He dropped a deuce every single morning.
Yeah.
Right? He was a vegetarian. Like, he really loved dogs. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's just like, he was a human being. It's just a culture of, like, envy and rage and all kinds of other stuff allowed that stuff to rise, and he didn't do it by himself. If he had done it by himself, somebody would have arrested him and put him in jail.
Yeah.
You know, he had a lot of help.
Well, in Preacher, the show and the comic book also, they kind of delve into the human side of Hitler and how he became what he was. And like he ends up becoming real good friends with Assface in Preacher. And you know, in Preacher, the hell that you put into is basically you have to relive the worst moment of your life over and over again. And Hitler's was, before he became who he was, it was the day he lost his empathy and compassion. And it was him in a restaurant where he was cuckolded by his girlfriend. And she basically broke up with him and said that he wasn't a man, and this other guy she was seeing was a man, and he could never live up. He wouldn't stand for himself or anything. And that's the day he was a person, just a regular person, until that moment when he lost himself. And that's pretty much what it was, you know? Just like I said, he wasn't a monster. He was just a dude. A sick individual with a horrible master plan, but he was a man.
Mm-hmm. He just wanted to see the world burn.
Right. And to compare current politicians to Hitler is, like I said, doing a disservice to people that were affected by Hitler.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you can't compare the two.
Somebody posted a meme the other day. And again, not, you know, I'm not political, so I just see what comes. Somebody posted, it's like, you know, this dude keeps comparing Trump to Hitler. Like, let's see. Hitler, you know, ran a world war, was responsible for the death of like 18 million people. This guy lowered your taxes and hurt your feelings. Like, grow up.
Yeah.
Like, you can disagree with his policies, you can say that he shouldn't say the stuff he says and he needs to get off of Twitter, and that's all fine. Ain't nobody burning.
Right. Yeah.
You know, ain't nobody being tortured.
Yeah. There's no real concentration camps anymore. People are being just efficiently killed, like you said, for the sake of economics and just making it efficient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not... I hate when people bring that kind of stuff up and act like, you know, compared to current situations, because you can't.
Hyperbole.
You just can't do it.
Hyperbole and superlatives. With that, this has been the best episode of Scary Dad Podcast. We'll see you next week whenever we revisit some.
Let's do The Fly next week.
Let's do The Fly.
Let's do The Fresh Eyes.
Let's do The Fresh Eyes on The Fly and Ghostbusters, what do you say?
That'd be fun.
Because I watched Ghostbusters recently, and
it's an awesome movie.
Dude. It really is. And, for you know, it's one of those things, like, I hadn't seen it in a while, but, I've seen it. I used to watch that thing when I was a kid, like, all the time. There are so many little innuendos and jokes that I didn't get when I was a kid. I was growing up. I'm just kind of like, oh. But a lot of fun to be had in Ghostbusters.
Do you sleep with the slime?
Plays with their piano. All right, guys. Until next time, keep it scary.
Later.
Have a heart, 'cause can't you see? You're torturing me. Torturing me. This torture that I'm going through, it's worth the pain if I have you. So if you love me, let me know. But if you don't, please let me go. You're torturing me. Torturing.